Okay, we're going to go on to the final responsible tourism presentations for today. We need to finish promptly at 5 o'clock, so if people overrun, they'll be stealing from one of the other presenters. I'm sorry for the delay in getting started, but some of the PowerPoint presentations came in late. I'm going to ask Zoran to start because he wants to set this in the context of what's happening in other industries around plastic. Then we're going to have two or three examples of what's being done in the industry. Then we're going to talk about a destination. And finally, Ian is going to talk about it from a global perspective. So, Zoran, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Harold. That was actually me bringing the slides late, so sorry for the delay. So again, thanks for the invitation, Harold. I want to talk about plastics more from an economic point of view. Before I do that, a few words about S&P Global. S&P Global is the leading provider of benchmarks, ratings, analytics, and data to the capital and commodity market. And within S&P Global, you might know them as well as Standard & Poor's, so that's a more familiar name for S&P. Within S&P Global, we have a specialist division that looks at environmental, social, and governance issues. And we are assessing risks relating to climate change and broader natural resource constraints. And the issue of plastic is one where we looked in much more detail. And before I talk a little bit about our assessments of plastics globally, a few words about the context of plastic. So undoubtedly, as we all know, plastic is delivering numerous benefits to society. Plastic packaged food lasts longer, reducing waste. Use of plastic in pipes facilitates the delivery of clean drinking water, and plastic also enables life-saving medical devices such as surgical equipment or drips. And also, plastic is used in vehicles and in aircraft, helping to reduce carbon emissions from transport. So there are a lot of benefits of plastic, but the issue is there's a lot of plastic out there, as we are all aware. So in 2015, we produced globally 407 million metric tons of plastic. If the current trends continue, this can go up to 1,600 million tons annually, and only between 14 to 18% of plastics are currently recycled, 24% are incinerated, and 58 to 62 are disposed in landfill. And those are latest figures this year released by the OECD. An additional 5 to 13 million tons of plastics are introduced to major ocean basins annually, and this is obviously a major concern for tourism and related industries. Interestingly as well, 4 to 8% of global oil and gas production is used for feedstocks for the plastic production, and 1% of the global total of greenhouse gas emissions is related to the production process of plastics. So in 2014, we worked with, and on behalf of UNEP, we did a global study looking at the consumer goods sector. And what Trucos and S&P does, we're looking at traditional environmental metrics and turning them into financial metrics. So we were able to establish the natural capital cost of plastics globally at $75 billion annually. And in 2016, we then did a similar study for the American Chemistry Council, and again, looking specifically at the consumer goods sector and all the different plastics that are produced, used, and disposed of. And specifically, what we wanted to understand is what would happen to the natural capital cost if we would replace the current plastics with alternatives. So think about paper, tin, glass. Those are some examples. And when we did the study in 2016, the total environmental costs in U.S. dollar was $139 billion U.S. dollars. And that equates to 20% of the plastics industry's revenue. So this is a very interesting story in itself. What's also interesting is 80% of the environmental costs are occurring in the production phase of plastics and in the transport phase of plastics. So often we think about the disposal of plastics or the waste of plastics, but if we look at the natural capital costs, so where's the environmental damage happening, it's actually in the production process of plastics and in the transport phase of plastics. So we did this again in 2016, and then we looked at the hypothetical alternatives we could use to replace the plastics we are using now. And our result is that if we would switch now, today, to the existing mainstream alternatives, the natural capital cost across the whole value chain of the plastics industry would be over $500 billion US dollars. So switching from plastics to other materials as we are today is not necessarily the answer. So I think this is a really, really important point. There are existing sustainable plastics alternatives, but those are not really available at scale. So we need to be very, I think, mindful and very careful when we, for example, talk about banning certain plastics or switching completely from plastics, because the value chain is important to consider. So we really need to look at how is plastic produced, how is plastic transported, and then also consider the end of use and the waste disposal, but really looking at a whole value chain perspective on plastics. And when we looked at the materials more specifically, we found out that the alternatives are often of equal efficiency, but we need more to produce the same results. So if you think about the PET plastics bottle, on average that requires around 30 grams of plastic. If we would replace it with existing alternatives, we would need 140 grams of alternative materials. If you then think about the production of those alternative materials, the additional weight that is required to transport those plastics, this is where the additional environmental impact is created. So I think that was just a very, I've reached my 8 minutes, so this was really a kind of economic assessment of the plastics impact. And I'm sure we can discuss it about it, but from our point of view, it's important really look at the whole value chain of the plastics industry, and then before you switch, make sure that it doesn't create any negative or additional negative benefits. Thank you.
Presentation.
8 minutes.
Which, Joe, I think will be you.
Oh, okay.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
Zoran, you were just within your time limit. So the next speaker is Joe Hendricks from something plastics. Who are you from?
I'm from Travel Without Plastics.
Travel Without Plastics, that's it.
Okay.
And you're going to be quick, aren't you, Joe?
Yes, I'm going to be very quick. I timed it. I should be 4 minutes and 20 seconds if I follow my notes on the screen. So my name is Joe Hendricks. I'm the founder of Travel Without Plastic. And I founded it after having the worst experiences of a styrofoam breakfast in the States and the Cayman Islands over the course of 2017. And I sat in the hotel breakfast room, and on average, I watched people use 6 breakfast items each. And in the hotel that I was staying, there were 146 rooms. That photograph shows the picture of the actual buffet in that hotel. If you consider just one room in that hotel fully occupied for 12 months, just on breakfast, they would get through 4,000 or over 4,000 items of plastic. And I spent some time asking hotels that I'd stayed in that were using these types of plastics, why did they use those? What was their choice? What were their reasons? What might be the barriers to making change? And I realized then, with my background working in health, safety, quality and sustainability in hotels for a number of years with a tour operator, then I would be in a position to make robust recommendations that would help hotels to consider what those best possible alternatives could be, also considering the impacts that Søren has outlined in his presentation just now, because not every alternative is as green as it seems. So what we did, we, after speaking to so many people, they asked us, really, could we just put this information into one place? How is it that a hotel could identify where it's using those plastics and how could they make a change? So together with a colleague, Rachel McCaffrey, who's in the audience today, we created a Let's Reduce Single-Use Plastic Toolkit, and it's available digitally. And it helps hotels identify where exactly they're using single-use plastic in their operations and how much it costs to them financially. Those statistics then enable the management team to make an informed decision on where they would like to prioritize their actions for change. So whether that's the most impactful in terms of the environment or in terms of the cost. And then the Let's Reduce Single-Use Guide that we created to go with that is packed full of zero-cost, low-cost and investment opportunities to look at whether replacing those plastics or eliminating them is the best course of action and how exactly can they go about doing that without solving one problem only to find that they have created another. And then we also put together in that kit a customer feedback questionnaire so hotels can see if they're on the right track in terms of what their customers expect from them and how to communicate what they're doing so that they can engage their staff and customers and a database of alternatives. So what type of results do we usually see? In Gran Canaria, which is where I'm based, across the Canary Islands, we looked at a group of 10 hotels that work on all-inclusive and half-board. And 15% of their plastic waste was caused by completely unnecessary single-use plastics. So this is really our fair start. These are things that don't need to be there in the first place. They really don't make a difference to the person's holiday. They really don't improve the quality of the stay. We looked at their single-use items and say 6.6 million single-use items in 12 months just from those hotels. We looked at their purchasing spreadsheet, and within 5 minutes, we could help them get rid of 1 million single-use plastic items. The reason they haven't done that is because it's just been business as usual for such a long time, and they're frightened sometimes and overwhelmed by what the changes are that they could make and how they could achieve those. So that's what we've set out to help people do, to feel comfortable in identifying where they can start to make these changes and look at how they can implement those to make the difference. So our goal is to continue to engage hotels around the world with the toolkit and to roll out our Let's Reduce Single-Use workshops in as many destinations as we possibly can. We currently work together with the Thomas Cook Group. Vicky's going to be talking about that very shortly. And we hope that through collaborations like that, we'll be able to reach our own personal business goal, which is to reduce 1 billion items of unnecessary single-use plastics by 2020. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jo. Victoria, you're on next.
Right, thank you very much for inviting me to speak on this panel. 1 year ago, I was actually in the audience for a presentation on a very similar topic. And was really inspired by Dr. Jeff Brightley's presentation and his documentary, A Plastic Ocean, which I'd encourage you all to watch. And I'm delighted to be able to come back today and tell us all about Thomas Cook's No Place for Plastic pledge that we've launched this morning and our journey to reduce our plastic usage. So a little bit of background about who Thomas Cook are. We're one of the world's leading leisure travel groups. We take 20 million customers on holiday every year. We're supported by 22,000 staff from 17 different source markets across Europe and China and Russia. We have almost 200 of our own branded hotels, and we have a fleet of about 100, just under 100 aircraft as well. Our shares were listed on the London Stock Exchange, and we're a very big and complex organisation with a supply chain to match. So we can all agree that there is too much waste in our oceans. The brutal fact is that 8 million pieces of plastic pollution are entering the oceans every day. That's the equivalent to about 200 plastic bottles entering the oceans every second. It's having devastating consequences, harming wildlife, but also washing up on the beaches of the holiday destinations that we love to enjoy. For the travel industry, WWF have come out with a report saying that the amount of plastic litter going into the Mediterranean is actually increasing by 40% during the summer months, demonstrating that direct link between our industry and the plastic pollution. But from customer research that we've done, we know that when they notice litter on a beach, a third of them are actually reporting that it's affecting their decision whether to visit that destination or not again. And at the same time, the majority of our customers are telling us that they can do without many of these types of common single-use plastic items that Joe's mentioned. And that's why we've launched a pledge on plastics. So our No Place for Plastic campaign are going to radically reduce single-use plastic items wherever possible throughout our business. Where possible, we can substitute any disposable items with those made from recycled plastic or biodegradable or compostable options, having done the full sustainability analysis that Sarah mentioned to make sure that we're not having those unintended consequences as well. Ensure that where plastic is being reused, it's recycled where the facilities exist. And we really want to call on suppliers, governments, and the wider industry to help us with this ambition, because we know that there are certain problems in destinations with how waste is actually effectively managed, which then has problems for our hotels who really want to make sure that they are recycling. And then we want to use our size and influence with our 20 million customers, with our 22,000 employees, to raise awareness of this issue in particular. So we've committed that by 2020, we're going to remove 70 million single-use plastic items from across our business. We've worked out that this is equivalent of 3,500 suitcases over the next 12 months. We realise and we appreciate that we're just at the start of this journey, but we want a wider call of action to the industry. So already, we've been working on this promise for a number of months now, and we've got a number of commitments from across our business. So from our group airlines perspective, we're going to be removing plastic stirrers. We've already replaced those with wooden items in the UK airline, and we'll be doing so with the same with our German on our Scandinavian airlines as well. We've radically reduced the amount of straws that we use in our own branded hotels. So we ran a trial this summer with 10 hotels in Rhodes, and the average reduction in straws was about 50%. One hotel even got it to 90% reduction year on year in straws that they're purchasing. And this then helps us to make the business case for buying more sustainable alternatives, because we're not ordering the same volumes of plastic straws that we would have done so previously. In our offices, some of them, we have given our employees reusable hot drinks cups. In some other offices, we're making sure that disposable cups are more expensive than people bringing their own to our on-site canteens. And we'll be looking more at how we can reduce the amount of disposable cups that we have in our offices. Substituting, again, our group airlines, we have plastic bags that are made from recycled plastics. We're also looking at the sizing of the plastic bags that we have for our duty-free retail items. Some of the food that we served is on trays made from sugarcane, and actually the plastic tubs that the food comes in is made from recycled plastic. In our hotels and resorts, we have 15 of our own brand hotels that have signed up to Joe's Travel Without Plastic Toolkit, and we're busy supporting them on identifying what are their big volume items of plastic and what they can do to reduce them. And again, offices were introducing vegware, hot drinks cups, and even something simple in one office is changing the size of the milk bottles that we get delivered so our staff can have cups of tea. You know, a simple change like that, that nobody's ever looked at it with the lens of let's reduce our single-use plastic, has reduced it by 15,000 items every year. Very simple change, but very effective. And all these little initiatives start to add up, especially across the size of a business as ours. So what are we doing next? Well, we understand it's going to be very difficult for customers to think about recycling during their holiday. And again, during our consumer research we've done, more than a fifth tell us that they're more likely to throw away plastic rather than recycle it when they're on holiday. So we want to raise awareness of this issue with them and find new ways to make it really easy for them to breathe new life into tired plastics. So we're delighted to announce a pilot with a design organisation called Wyatt and Jack. They're going to start taking some of our holiday makers' broken and discarded plastics, sort of like inflatable items, Lilos, children's armbands, and turn them into reusable accessories, such as this one I'm modelling here. As you can see, it's still got the valves from the old inflatables in there. And I think it just makes a really nice statement that these tired and old and broken plastics can be turned into a useful product again. And we're going to be trialling that in one of our hotels in Rhodes from next year, having an inflatables amnesty. We're also going to be trialling a variety of sustainable alternatives to plastic products in our hotels, again in Rhodes, to assess whether there's an opportunity to roll them out more widely across our business. So whether this be plastic-free toiletries, edible straws, whether it be using some of our hotels as a kind of a recycling hub for the local community. What we want to do is prove the concepts of a lot of these things for a business such as ours. Thank you. We're also going to be looking at things like plastic cups usage in our hotel, which is quite a challenge for us. We did do a reusable water cup in some of our hotels, but actually they all disappeared, all 7,000 of them disappeared. So they weren't returned for someone else to reuse them. So that was not very sustainable for our business because they're quite expensive to make and they're quite expensive in terms of their environmental impact. So we need to look at that as a challenge to overcome. Something else that's just cropped up whilst we're looking at this is picnics, for example, giving customers access to food to take away with them. The picture you can see in the bottom right is an example of how many single-use plastic items we have within the picnics. We're starting to look to reduce those significantly in number. And we're going to continue to identify and remove plastic from across the business. But there are challenges to be mindful of for our industry, as Suren has already echoed. Plastic is a lightweight material. That's great for us on an airline because we're not increasing our carbon emissions by adding more weight. So we need to be quite careful about what we can and do replace it with. Plastic packaging for food is ideal for our hotels because it extends the food life of shelf life of food. And the challenge is huge, and we know how much there is to do, but we know we have to start somewhere. And our hope is that by showing our commitment, we're going to influence others to work with us to radically cut the amount of plastic in the holiday industry. So thank you very much for listening.
Thanks, Victoria. That was Victoria Barlow. If you didn't notice, she works for Thomas Cook. Anyway, we all know that now, Victoria. Thank you. Our next speaker is from the Seychelles, and it's Sherin Francis, who's the CEO of the Seychelles Tourism Board.
My name is Sherin Francis. I am the CEO of the Seychelles Tourism Board, and I come from the beautiful Seychelles Islands. And I'm here to give a little bit of more concrete examples to probably what my colleagues on the panel have been talking about the plastic bans, about how we've been able to manage single-use plastics in our destination. So for those of you who don't know where Seychelles is located, we're a small group of islands in the middle of the Indian Ocean. The main industry in Seychelles is actually tourism. Our livelihood, our bread and butter is tourism. And our tourism industry is built on the environment. This is the main cornerstone of the industry. So for us, we've been carrying the flag of environmental protection and conservation for a long time, for decades now. not because we want to be famous or we want to be loved by people, but because when it's your livelihood, you don't have a choice. This is our industry. Two out of every people in a household in Seychelles directly work in the tourism industry. So you can understand why it's important that we are able to make sure that this industry is sustainable by the meaning of it. So the plastic bans is actually one of the many series of things where we as a destinations, the initiatives we have taken. If we listen to the statistics, I believe the gentlemen here have mentioned the statistics of how much plastics are produced in a year. And half of it are actually single-use plastics. 8 million out of it actually end up in the ocean. And, okay, we are very tiny as an island destination. We have only 90,000 people as a population. We cannot be producing or using that much plastic to be able to make that significant impact like maybe the rest of the world. But we have to put our money where it matters at the end of the day, because this is where this is our livelihood. So this is where the government at one point, and this was actually a decision at the highest level of the country, in 2016, a decision was taken that as of January 2017, the importation of single-use plastic, a series of it, would be banned completely, as in takeaway boxes, plastic cutleries, plastic paper, plastic cups and plates, and all a whole series of it, banned. And every merchants and businesses had 6 months for the transition to ensure that whatever it's on the shelf by July 2017, all of it needs to be used. And come August 2017, it was not allowed to see plastic bags in the shops, plastic cups on the shelves, or styrofoam boxes being used at takeaway points. Of course, whenever something like that comes in force, there is always businesses that will tell you, what are we going to do? We're going to die. We're going out of business. There were a lot of these. There were lots of lobbying saying, you know, give us a more transition time for us to be able to adapt and all these things. But the government maintained the ban and maintained all the decisions. And what we see, there was a natural transition. No, none of any business which said they would go out of business actually did go out of business. They switched to the alternative very fast. And by today, it's like business is as usual. Everybody have switched on to other alternatives. There are more eco-friendly items being used, eco-friendly bags being used at the shops. Everybody have actually switched quite naturally to eco-friendly methods, which means if you actually impose it at one point, they would find the alternatives. And the next step have been to move to the complete ban of plastic straws as well. So this is in force. Now there's a 6 months delay for all the businesses, hotels, and to be able to switch to the alternative, which is happening gradually. I think the hotels were quite happy. The hotels in Seychelles were quite happy with the transition because they do understand the implication of it. So this is my little experience from our tiny destinations of what we've been doing, and complimenting all the world that everybody on the panel has been doing in terms of helping to save our ocean and all of our turtles and fishes, which depend on us for that. Thank you.
Sharon, thank you very much indeed for that. It's good to see something happening at the whole destination level. We've got one final presentation, which is from Ian Rowlands.
It's in that folder.
I asked Ian to point out, but he may forget, that actually nearly all of you, probably all of you, are now carrying plastic with you today in your bodies.
Not me.
Actually, inside you, there are probably plastics. I was horrified to discover today from Ian that your toothpaste often contains plastic. So don't swallow your toothpaste. Spit it out, because that's another way that the plastics are getting into you. Ian, sorry to steal your thunder, but I just wanted to keep it going.
I'll leave now.
No, keep going. Come on, 5 minutes.
So thanks for your time, everybody. I really appreciate it. And brilliant initiatives we've heard about from the other members of the panel. But let's not escape the fact that this stuff is a scourge and a pestilence on us. I think it's also an opportunity, and that was maybe what I wanted to speak about to you now. How many people here saw Blue Planet 2? A fair number, probably hardly anybody missing. Interestingly, Blue Planet 2 was 7 hours of some of the most expensive broadcasting ever transmitted. The plastics issue was raised on that. 8 minutes, 16 seconds, Sir David talked about plastics, and it shows how we can use plastics and the problem of them, I think, as a megaphone to really talk about issues that we're particularly concerned about and we can tackle. Oops, what do I do? So we bat for the creatures that have no voice here in this room. Whales, dolphins, other marine creatures. And we use the public engage with them to inspire wonder in people to also highlight the environmental issues that affect them, but also affect us. Because Harold said, we're probably all carrying plastic. We probably all have plastic in our bodies right now, every one of us, that we've ingested through food that we've eaten. It affects these creatures and it affects all of us, and it's an opportunity for us to talk about big environmental issues like plastics. That's our stand at AF195. We use art and science to communicate about critical ocean issues, problems, but also solutions. We address big audiences. We run Whale Fest, regularly get audiences of about 15,000, and use those charismatic animals to talk to people, find partnerships. We've been discussing plastics for a long time. We're proud to work alongside some people here, but we all need to work together on this issue. It's a huge, huge problem. I'm trying to get a sense of scale. How many people have walked the length of South Hall? Anybody here? I estimated, did some figures. If you filled this building from end to end, floor to ceiling, with plastics, and then emptied it out every 6 hours, that's how much of this stuff we're putting out. It's almost impossible when you look at the figures that Soren talked about to visualize it in some meaningful way. So raising awareness is a terrific thing, but we all need to take action. This bottle probably put 30 seconds to produce it, 15 minutes to use it, 500 years for it to gradually disappear and degrade. So it's a massive thing. It's kind of what I think of as a canary in the coal mine. It alerts us to a whole range of environmental issues because disposability is not an option. And looking for alternatives where we dispose them and recycle them is of questionable value. We look to eliminate disposable things from our lifestyle because the planet has finite resources. We can't find new materials to make things. We can have a circular economy that recycles things, and that's vital. But we have to look to eliminate disposability for much of our life. We are still manufacturing plastics at an alarming rate. The recyclability of most plastics in places is still incredibly low. And there's a comparison with these graphs, isn't there? Human population, the great unspoken thing in the room, is the massive issue too. That explains why we're using so much of this stuff. The other graph, which is climate. Alarming reports about climate change from IPCC just a week, 2 weeks ago. Virtually nothing of it in the media and hardly anything, if at all, in the budget in the UK about climate. And the big one that WWF released last week, extinctions. Since 1970, 60% of most mammals, fish, reptiles, and creatures that we share the planet with have gone. Since 1970, 60%. And this is not creatures we would like to share and show people. This is our life support system on the planet. And for some reason, the alarm bells are not ringing, so we have to use this as a way to raise the issue of how serious these issues are the planet facing. We, all of us in this room, must care about this issue because you're here sitting listening to it. And our mission is to go out and tell everybody that we know. Because the waves on the beach, the raindrops that we love, the pure air, the leaves on the trees, everything outside this box relies on us speaking to people and sharing that message. But we got backup. You know, David Attenborough's on the team. We have better opportunities than ever to be environmentalists and share that message without being considered fringe or extreme. Sky Ocean Rescue, looking at how plastic impacts our health. So there are plenty of reasons for us to leave the stand today. Well, I'll make that an I statement. I need to leave here today and not be shy of having conversations with my friends, work colleagues, my boss, people that I know, everyone, and start talking about plastics. Let's start with the single-use plastics, but let's really consider the footprint that we have on the planet, because I think the time for business as usual is over. Thank you.
Thanks very much indeed, Ian. I just want to take us back to that stand number, because if you've got time tomorrow or Wednesday, go along to AF195 and take a look at the stall there about plastic. It could be photographed to next to an Easter Island head full of plastic, made of plastic, and the Water to Go stall is next door. So do go and have a look at that. I'm afraid we're out of time, so we just thank the panel in the traditional way, and I hope to see you at some of the responsible tourism events tomorrow when the host show starts again.